All right, welcome to the Angels Cup Coffee Hunters podcast. This week we're speaking with Kellen Gorbett, an Angels Cup subscriber who was inspired by what we're doing and decided to start his own company called Standard & Twain. Standard & Twain is a blind cigar tasting club where subscribers receive two cigars with the wrapper removed, a set of tasting note cards to record your tasting notes, and a card to reveal the details on each cigar. As soon as I heard about the service, I signed up, and today Kellen will be walking me through a tasting of two of the cigars I've received so far. I had a ton of fun doing the cigar tasting, and I'm sure you would too. Conveniently, Kellen has offered a totally free box and cigar cutter to listeners of this podcast. Use coupon code FIRSTBOXFREE, all caps, no spaces, at standardandtwain.com to receive your first shipment totally free. That's a killer deal, but it expires October 1st. If you're listening to this podcast after October 1st, that's unfortunate. Make sure to sign up in case we have any other special offers like this again in the future. And also, if you'd like to try Angels Cup, we have a much less generous offer. Use coupon code PODCAST25 to save 25% off your first shipment. Kellen's deal is making us look bad this week, but that's still only $7.75 for four amazing coffees. And that deal doesn't expire. Without further ado, let's meet Kellen. All right, welcome to another episode of the Angels Cup Coffee Hunters podcast. This week I'm speaking with Kellen Gorbett, who was an Angels Cup subscriber and was inspired to start a company of his own called Standard & Twain, which is a blind cigar tasting club. Kellen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, excited to have you on. So when I heard you started this cigar club, I immediately signed up.
Yep.
And it must have been 2 months ago because I already have two shipments.
Yep.
And so this is going to be a really fun interview because you're going to walk me through a cigar tasting.
Well, let me just say, thanks for having me on. And I recently listened to the one you did with Bianca Bosker. And man, I was given Cork Dork for like my birthday or Christmas, something like a couple of years ago. And so listening to her was a real treat. She is brilliant. And I told the person who gave me that book that I was going to be on a podcast that she was on. And she was pretty excited about that. So I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I got that book 2 or 3 years ago also. It was a really great read. I hope everybody out there gives it a chance because it was fun.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Okay, so I've received two shipments from you. Each shipment includes two cigars, and the cigar comes, I'll have pictures of it on the website. Oh boy, starting to drizzle out here. That's not good. So each cigar is labeled with just a number. I've got 51, 52, 53, and 54, and on your suggestion, we're going to be trying 51 and 54 tonight.
Perfect. I've already been driven inside because it's storming outside. I was gonna smoke on the backyard with you, but that's not gonna happen. So hopefully, it'll pass for you.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit like of a sun shower because I see it's not that cloudy.
But all right.
If it starts to drizzle, I might have to. I don't know.
Call an audible. Somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 51. Is it just me, or is this cigar square?
It is square. Yeah, it's what's called a box press.
And okay.
There's not really a reason for that, except it kind of looks cool. It's a different way to hold it. What happens is, before the final leaf, which is called the wrapper, which goes around the outside of the cigar, before mm-hmm. that's put on, they'll put it in a specific box mold, and then they'll put it in there, put them on top, and then they'll put a weight on top of it, basically, and leave it there for a few weeks or however long, and then once it comes out, it's in that shape. So it's just a different way to do it. Didn't really affect the smoke at all. So
that's very interesting.
Yeah,
is that just a cultural thing, or?
Yeah.
If I was a cigar expert, would that give away where this cigar came from?
If you gave me that cigar, I would probably... It's a pretty distinct cigar because of its size. I would probably know that it was... I'm not going to tell you what it is, but that it's the cigar that it is based on that shape. There's definitely a lot of box press cigars out there, but that size you're smoking in particular is pretty distinct to the creator of it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now I know very, very little about cigars, but I know Good. That they're usually named based on their size. Is that correct?
Yes, and there's a broad variety. I mean, there's a million different names for sizes. It can be very confusing. What you're smoking there is called a Perfecto, because of its it has a point, comes to a point at the end, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's called a Perfecto or a Figurado. If it didn't have that point, I think it's a pretty medium cigar, maybe like a 56 ring gauge by 5.5 or something. It'd be like a Corona or a Corona Gorda, just based on its size. I mean, there's some wild names out there. We're not going to try to memorize them tonight, but yeah, you can go crazy with it. You can nerd out a little bit, figuring out all the different sizes.
And so now you mentioned that this comes to a point. Am I supposed to cut off the whole tip, or like how deep should I go on my cut?
Yeah, good question. So you're going to cut. All right. Let's see. I wish I was there with you smoking. This would be way more practical and more fun. So there should be a cap on the end of, on the torpedo. You have to look, you'll see a line going around it, and that's called the cap. So what happens is you have the cigar. Like I said, it's taken out of that mold, and now you've got to put the final leaf on it. That's called the wrapper leaf. So you're gonna the roller puts that wrapper on, and then you've got a loose. I mean, it's one leaf, so it's all rolled as one, and then you've got some loose leaf on the ends, right? So the roller cuts that off. And then you've got to seal it somehow, right? So then the roller just takes a small circle out of that leaf, cuts it separately, and then just sticks it on the ends over what's already been cut, if that makes sense. So to answer your question, you want to cut before that line. So you don't want to cut all of the cap off, because the cap is actually holding all of that wrapper together. So if you cut too high, then you risk the leaf, the wrapper starting to unravel a little bit. It's not the end of the world, but that's kind of the general rule. You want to cut before that line, so you don't cut off all the cap. Does that make sense?
So I see on the visual here.
Yeah.
On 54, I see that there's definitely a cap to it.
You can definitely see that cap on 54.
On 51, I do not notice an obvious cap.
The torpedoes are going to be a little trickier, yeah, because just because of the nature of the way that they are rolled there at the with the points. So I would just cut about from the end to where it begins to start its point. I would cut about halfway, and you should be fine.
Okay. I'll do that now.
I'll do the same.
Okay, if I try and draw through the cigar, I feel like I'm getting a reasonable amount.
Good. Yeah, you don't want it to be like a straw, but you definitely want to be able to draw a little bit as well. So.
Right.
Feel like the
nerd. Okay, so now before we light this, is there anything I should do?
Well, yeah, you're going to toast the end of it. I mean, there's a million ways, you know, it depends how geeky you want to get, you know? So you could just...
I want to get maximally geeky.
You want to get maximum geeky. All right. So you want to toast the end of it.
Should we talk about like the dry aroma? Is there a dry aroma to cigars?
Well, yeah, yeah, you can. A lot of times you're going to get, kind of a manure-y kind of smell, but yeah, give it it's not as distinct as say like smelling whole bean coffee. It's a little more ambiguous, but yeah, definitely worth giving a try.
I'm smelling 51 and 54, and they both smell good. They smell like cigars, but I don't smell an obvious difference.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. You're not going to really get a whole lot of aroma until after you light up. A lot of times it's like a farm, kind of barnyard, sometimes even like a manure type of smell.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like the smell of cigars and tobacco. So maybe exactly. I don't get the barnyard so much.
Oh, really? Hey, by the way, I was just about to finish up my latest Angels Cup. It's number 8585. And okay. I'm finishing up, and it's probably my favorite of the recent one I got. I haven't actually looked at it yet, but it's really good. I think it's probably East African. Really unique, really delicious. So anyway,
excellent. I throw that in. I'm glad you enjoy.
All right, let's light it up.
If I was a better business manager, I would know what that coffee was. But I have no idea.
You're sending a lot more different varieties of coffee than I am cigars at this point. So I'm not.
Yeah, that is coffee number 8,000. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so toasting the end. What do we do?
All right, yeah. So you're gonna hold the light. In a perfect world, you'd have probably like some matches, but whatever your flame is, you're gonna hold it. Maybe half an inch off the ends and just toast it. So you're not going to actually touch the flame to the tobacco. You're just going to warm it, right? And you can kind of rotate it a little bit around, just getting the ends. Yeah, toasty. And then after,
what is the purpose of this?
It's just to, a lot of people have like these really hot flame lighters, right? And they'll just kind of go right at it. This is just kind of a cooler, not cooler like this is cool, like an actual cooler way to do it. You want to keep your cigar as cool as possible, because the cooler it is, the higher temperature of the cigar, you tend to lose flavor. Because it's almost like coffee, right? Like if you pour water that's too hot, it's gonna affect the bean in ways that it should. Same mm-hmm. thing with the flame. So you don't want to get it too hot too soon. We'll talk about like puffing, like the way you puff, how often you puff. Same concept as that. You don't want to get the cigar too hot because you lose flavor. So this is kind of a way to just kind of slowly warm the cigar up before you actually light it. And also, if you just go straight at it where you're just immediately puffing and you got the flame, you're going to probably hurt your palate a little bit, right? Because you're really taking all this in at once, and it's going to be very hot, and you're going to have to like kind of spend the next however long recovering your palate to get the flavor that you wanted. So yeah, this is just a way to slowly go about it.
Okay. So how long do I do this for?
You should, for us, not too long. So you should be good. So then just, now you can put the flame either on it or just off of it. And take a couple quick puffs. And you should see it really start to flame up. Now that it's been toasted, it'll light a lot quicker too. And then you can kind of, you can look at the end and see if all of it, should be lit all the way around. You can kind of blow on the end if it needs to be lit up a little bit more. That'll help get the whole cigar lit. And then you should be good to go.
All right. I think the whole thing is lit.
Any initial tastes? Any initial flavors?
It tastes to me like a cigar.
That's good. That's a good start.
It's definitely a cigar.
Yeah, it is. All right, we can confirm that. Good. Well, so it'll be interesting to talk about the differences in cigars and coffee, in the way they're tasted and the way the whole process from seed to the end of when you're actually smoking or drinking. Because cigars, hopefully, at some point you'll be able to pinpoint some mm-hmm. flavor in there. And then with this cigar in particular, hopefully it'll change a little bit. And that's kind of when you talk about complexity with a cigar, that's kind of what you're looking for is, you know, does it change? Do the flavors shift? You know, as you go on, sometimes it'll start very mellow and creamy, and then it'll pick up spice as you go along. Sometimes the opposite. Sometimes other, you know, other flavors will be revealed. So
can we do this like multiple choice form? Can you, I don't feel like I even have a vocabulary to talk about a cigar. And so I'm not even sure what's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it certainly doesn't taste fruity to me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I'm supposed to be getting... Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. There are probably a little bit more. I mean, so you've got all these different spectrums, right? You've got like the wine spectrum of flavors. You've got the coffee spectrum of flavor, which is massive for, especially for coffee. Cigars are probably going to be a little more limited. You're talking about like the color wheel. It's going to be more on like the brown and green and yellow and, you know, on that kind of spectrum, not on, you know, probably not like the purple and the, you know, whatever reds, you know, there's occasionally you'll get like some, maybe like a cherry, something like that. But for the most part, it's going to be, well, I'll look at the cigar that you are smoking now.
One second. Let me go inside and grab, because you have like this cigar subscription comes with a tasting note card where I could write down my tasting notes. Yep. So let me go inside. I don't think I have that outside. Let me check real quick. I think I left it inside though.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go inside real quick. I'll get that. I'll be back in 1 second. I was going to spray some bug spray on that.
Yeah, I heard that. I was wondering what that was.
Oh my God, a butterfly just landed. Oh my God, do I have a camera? Hold on. Oh, I swear I got a butterfly just... Oh, I missed it.
Instagram.
A butterfly landed on the tasting
board. Oh, nice.
Oh my God, I got a picture of it. This is amazing.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Must be the bug spray that attracted it. I guess the bug spray doesn't work so well. All right, nice. Okay, so I'm going to read what's on this tasting note card so that our listeners can sort of follow along.
Perfect.
On the left, we have a profile. It has a couple of categories. It has construction, complexity, balance, flavor, experience, and final rating. And there's a place for notes and a checkbox for buy it again. Then in the flavors, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 categories. We have fruit, which includes berry, cherry, citrus, orange zest, and raisin. We have a category for sweets, which includes brown sugar, butter, caramel, chocolate, molasses, and cream. We have nuts, which include almond, peanut, and pecan. We have animal notes, which include gamey, leather, and savory. I think the butterfly just landed on my head now.
It's healthy.
We have vegetation and earth, which includes cedar, earth, grass, lead/graphite, oak, tea, and florals. Mm-hmm. We have herbs and spices, which includes cinnamon, coffee, pepper, salt, vanilla, and wasabi. And then we have a category for other, which includes bitter, harsh, dry, and tar.
Yeah, so those flavor... Okay, so there are way more flavors. They're more nuanced. Those are kind of the ones that I selected as what I think are probably the most common. You can look at another cigar flavor wheel. And I mean, for example, like in the spice category or, you know, whatever sweet category, you'll have maybe like a coffee wheel. You know, you'll have 10 or 15 different flavors. I mean, it's how complex do you want to get for that card that I send? That's about what's practical that will fit on that card. So those are like my top however many flavors that I think will be most likely to be revealed in a cigar.
Okay, so which ones? I'm trying to look at the list and figure out which ones I get the most of.
So one thing that a lot of cigar smokers that don't smoke too often will not really know to do is, and this is going back to to Cork Dork, and Bianca, she's just so brilliant on talking about the smell, right? I mean, she really, on your podcast, she really emphasized that. And one thing she said was, that I just loved was, like, you can't expect to know what raspberry in a coffee or a wine or whatever will taste like if you don't actually know the smell of a raspberry, like, deeply in your, you know, in your mind. And yeah, I just love that, first of all. But second of all, for cigars, smell is a huge part. And what a lot of people don't do is that'll help your flavor, be able to identify flavor, is to take a puff and then, and do this carefully now, take a puff, have it kind of, you know, swirl in your mouth for a second. And then about, what I do is about 10% approximately, I will kind of push out my nose. So I won't, I won't inhale it, but I'll just kind of push it up and out through your nostrils. And that will really, you know, going back to the smell thing, will really give you, maximize, you know, your ability to taste what you're smoking.
All right, this sounds like acrobatics. I'm going to give this a try. see if I hurt myself.
Let me tell you, the cigar that you're smoking is pretty strong, and if you do it too much, you might, you'll know. So just do it.
Oh, yeah, that was painful. That hurt.
That's 10%. You went 50.
Oh, shit, that hurt.
All right, well, that's just for the entertainment of the listeners, I guess.
Well, I definitely got the experience.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a little time to get down, but you know, if you put out just a little bit, it'll give you.
All right, so it's in my nose now. I have the flavor in my nose, and I feel like
it was a worthy sacrifice.
It was a worthy sacrifice because now I'm definitely experiencing this cigar in full.
Okay,
so in my nose, I got that wasabi.
Exactly. And
that was an intense, spicy, almost tear-jerking experience. It was very spicy. Like, I think before I did that, I was tasting some of the black pepper. Yep. I'm assuming the pepper and the herbs and spices is black pepper, not red pepper.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm definitely getting some black pepper. I was getting black pepper before.
Yep.
And now I'm getting black pepper and wasabi.
And that cigar in particular is, I put wasabi on there thinking about that cigar and maybe a couple more that I've smoked that are very specific to that. Like, wow, this has a spice that's not like regular spice. You know, it's not, you know, black pepper or cinnamon or ginger. I mean, it is wasabi. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to experience that with me.
So if I do that again with the next cigar, is it going to be an equally spicy experience, or is it going to be a little bit more?
We'll have to, you know, we'll cross that road. Let's hear it. Do you see anything from that flavor chart that's jumping out?
I feel like I could cross most of the fruits off the list.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting a little bit of like a toasty butter.
Okay.
But like a burnt butter, like one of those butter cookies. Oh man, what are those cookies called? Those Italian cookies where it's like some. They're made in a pan. It's like a really, it's like a toasted burnt butter sugar thing, and then there's like a layer of chocolate in between two of those cookies. I used to love these cookies when I was a kid, but I don't eat them anymore.
I don't know.
It's an Italian name.
You coffee guys, man. So I have, you know, one of my best friends is a roaster, in Dublin, and he's a brilliant roaster. And when he smokes cigars, he sends me the most amazing descriptions of the flavors that he's getting. I just love it. It's like the coffee industry is just, I think they're just like next level on the intricacy and the honestly, like the palate of what's possible. I love it. So I love giving cigars to coffee guys and wine people for that matter.
Oh, it's an almond Florentine. That's what it is. Do you know what an almond Florentine is?
No.
Oh, you should look for these in a good bakery.
I absolutely will.
Yeah, so it's almonds. It's mixed with like a ton of butter and brown sugar, and it's like burnt to a crisp in a pan, and then they usually sandwich two of them together with chocolate in between.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. No, I've never had that.
That's good. So do I get almonds on this? Because it is an almond Florentine. Oh boy, that's a tough one. If I had to pick a nut, it would be almond. It's definitely not a peanutty flavor.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's the best description.
I wish I was smoking it with you. I'm smoking the one that you're smoking next.
Okay. So I'm about 20% of the way through the cigar, and I feel like there's rules about when to knock the ash off the end.
The more you smoke cigars, you kind of just get a feel for the ash. So like I can usually just kind of know by what the ash looks like, how dense it is. Some cigars will have a very dense, very tight ash. The one I'm smoking now actually does. So I can know that, you know, it's fine. I never go out of my way to knock off the ash unless I think it's going to actually fall off by itself. So if you don't really lose anything by knocking off the ash early, except that sometimes it'll just cause the wrapper, which is the outside part of the cigar, to go out, and then you'll have to light it again, which is not a huge deal. But there's not really a hard and fast rule. You just kind of, when you think it's ready to be ashed and then ash it, it's better to ash it early than let it ash in your lap.
Yeah. Go ahead and ash this.
So what do you think about it so far?
I'm enjoying it. I feel like part of the reason why I don't smoke cigars too much is because I feel like the flavor sticks in my mouth for a very long time. Like it'll stick around for days afterwards.
Sure.
And this, it's hard to say because I'm only about 20% of the way through, but I feel like this one's not going to be maybe as sticky as some others.
It's a little like cleaner. Yeah, that's definitely you can definitely tell sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the quality of a cigar will. Yeah. I mean, if it's like an ashtray in your mouth, like you're probably smoking, you know, a not very good cigar, or maybe like a cigar that's not aged long enough. So you've got a lot of just kind of like bitter tobacco that just needs more time to sit and age.
How is tobacco aged? I didn't even know that there was an aging process.
So you can, I mean, so cigars obviously can age. You can let cigars age for, I mean, it's like wine. I mean, you can let cigars age for as long as you want, basically. As long as you keep them in the right climate, you can let them age for years and years. I've got cigars in my humidor that have been aging for 10 or 15 years.
How does the flavor change over time?
Generally, the flavor will kind of mellow out. So I think my opinion is that a cigar that's already pretty mild and mellow and isn't like bursting with flavor might not be the best cigar to age, because it's just going to get more like that. A cigar that you're smoking right now, for example, it's pretty powerful. It's got a lot going on. But aging that would only make it better, because it would kind of lose its edge. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And cigars are a tricky thing, because it's not a rule, but the most common thing that we see in the cigar industry is strong cigars are going to be the most flavorful. But also they will be able to hide a lot of their, maybe, you know, like the bitterness or the kind of those flavors that you're not that you don't want, they can hide a little bit in there in the strength of the cigar. For mild cigars, it's rare, unfortunately. I think it's getting way better to find a mild cigar that is also just super flavorful. There's some cigars out there. The Tatuaje Cabaguan comes to mind. It is a beautiful cigar. It's very mild, but it's got a ton of flavor. So all that to say, for the cigar you're smoking, it's very strong. But it's pretty refined for a cigar of that strength. But aging it it'll only get better. The flavor profiles will become more distinct, and so you can age cigars that way. And also the tobacco, before the cigars are actually rolled, are also aged, and so how long you age it then also depends how the cigar turns out.
Interesting. So what's like a common age for tobacco before it's made into a cigar?
Well, from the beginning, I mean, it's a long process. When you get to, the cigar, I'll go over it quickly. The tobacco is grown, and generally the tobacco leaves are picked individually, and then they're hung in barns and let to dry. And once they're dried, they'll be taken and they'll be put into these stacks, bales called pelones, and there they will ferment, and they're just losing, you know, they're fermenting, they're losing all of their, you know, harsh, you know, chemicals and all that, and from there they can be rolled and they're ready to go. But after fermentation, you know, they can be rolled immediately. You know, obviously it's just like the longer time you give it, the better it's going to be, the less of the edge it's going to have. So it really depends on the maker and how quickly, you know, the cigars are being rushed out there. But, you know, 6 months or something would be a good time to let the tobacco age before it's rolled.
Okay, so before I smoke too much of this cigar, I'm actually going to go ahead and light number 54.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the end a nice little toast. Now, I know you mentioned propane lighters versus matches, and I'm using a Bic grill barbecue lighter.
right.
What is the difference between lighters, and what sort of effect does that have on the cigar experience?
You know, it's not the... I know plenty of cigar guys who use butane lighters. Just it's kind of going kind of what we were talking about lighting it right off the bat. You know, it's gonna you might get a little butane flavor. It might be, you know, just kind of right initially, but it's not gonna affect the cigar. You know, the whole cigar, the long term. You know, it's just kind of, you know, if possible, you might want to not start there. Just start with a butane flavor in your mouth, but it won't last very long.
Okay.
So matches are ideal, or, you know, a lot of time people will use like cedar strips, mm-hmm. and light it with a Bic lighter or whatever, and light the cedar strips, and then light the cigar with that. I mean, that's geeking out for sure. I wish I had, it's the kind of the roll of the dice of the last 2 months. There's not a super mild, creamy cigar that would, I mean, if there's a million of those types of cigars out there, you just didn't happen to get one the last couple months. But smoking that versus the cigar you smoke first, mm-hmm. I mean, it would be like, you know, it'd be like maybe a Colombian versus a natural Ethiopian. I mean, it'd be a huge difference.
Okay, so now I've lit 54. And yeah, this is a significantly different cigar.
Oh, good.
I would describe this one as creamy compared to the first one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm smoking now. And it's definitely, I wouldn't describe it as super creamy compared to some cigars, which are just like, like cream and coffee and butterscotch, you know, and that kind of thing. But it's definitely has some of that, especially compared to that cigar that you were smoking before. All right, now when you get a few puffs in, take just 10% or so of it off your nose.
Oh God, not again! Please don't make me do that again. When you say 10%, like, am I supposed to do this with my mouth open or my mouth closed? Because
so you take a puff and then you keep it in your mouth for just a second, you know, just kind of like you would taste a wine, and then mouth closed, kind of force just a little bit up and out. It's kind of hard to describe. You just kind of
I know how to like get a retronasal from coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like I came out my nose. It's not like it didn't come out. It's just a question of how to control the exact volume
because practice.
Yeah, practice. With coffee, it's just max volume, I guess, all the time.
Exactly.
And with wine, I do it after I've swallowed the wine, so I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick sip of seltzer here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That time I did a good job.
Yeah.
I took a much smaller puff of the cigar.
Well, okay. That'll work.
So yeah. I think it's 50% of a 10% puff.
Fair. All right. Now, could you notice a difference, or you think it was just because it was less?
I felt it come out my nose.
Right.
But it wasn't spicy.
Okay.
It was, Oh, yeah, no, it's spicy.
There's some spice in there, I was about to say.
Yeah. No, I did it again.
But not nearly as much as the other one.
No, not nearly as much. The other one was more like a real wasabi kick. This is more like what you would expect a cigar to be like. It's intense because it's such a density of smoke.
Right.
This one, I think, actually, so going back to the list of flavors, this one I get a little bit of like a coffee and maybe a little bit of a chocolate.
Definitely. Almost like a milk chocolate. Like it's...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it's creamy. Mm-hmm. Like chocolate is going to taste like a milk chocolate.
Right.
Let me go back to the first one again. Okay, so now on the first one, in your vegetation and earth category, there's a lot of woods.
Yep.
I feel like I'm getting like some definite oakiness.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that's because I associate oak with toasted oak barrels from winemaking.
Do you get any coffee from it?
No, this one, the first one, I'm not getting coffee from. Am I supposed to be?
Well, that's the thing about that cigar. It's pretty complex. So I think the more you smoke it, I think it's going to kind of change as you go along. We'll see.
If I get coffee, it's like a dark roasted coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas if I was going to say, if I did say coffee for the first one, that's more like a lighter roasted coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is what I'm curious what real coffee guys think, because in your industry, you know, light roast coffee is really where you're getting the most flavor, right? You're bringing out as much sweetness as possible.
Right. As much complexity.
Yeah. And the darker you roast, you know, you start to lose that. Now, cigars are interesting because, like I said, it's kind of the opposite in a way, where the darker the tobacco, which means simply that it was in the sun. You're using leaves that were at the top of the plant. They're sitting in the sun longer, so they're getting more. They're getting more sun. They're getting more
more chlorophyll.
Exactly. Thank you. And that is generally thought to be make a more flavorful cigar. So the darker it is, the stronger it is, the more flavor you're getting. And there's a trend that happened in the last 10, 20 years that where strong cigars, like back in the 90s, cigars were very mild. And then maybe like in the next 10 years, they really started to get stronger. And I remember there was one cigar in particular called the Oliva Siri V. And it was probably the strongest cigar up to that point. And I remember guys, real cigar guys, like passing it around, like, wow, have you tried this cigar? Like, whoa, this thing is so strong. This thing's so much flavor. But, you know, and now that's almost like the kind of the regular production is a cigar like that. But I wonder if, I think there might be a trend starting to go the other way where it got almost so over the top with the strength and the, that you weren't even like smoking complex cigars anymore. You were almost smoking like a very dark roasted, drinking like a very dark roasted coffee equivalent of cigars. And now I think it's going down the other way. People are wanting more mild, medium bodied cigars that can still hold up with that complexity and flavor. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So I give, I mentioned my friend, who's a roaster. I give him certain cigars that are very, you know, popular, and he's like, "No, this is too much. This is, you know, it's like a burned coffee thing." And then he'll smoke the mild cigars, and he'll be like, "Yes, this is like a nice light roasted coffee." So I think that's the direction that we're headed. Maybe more like medium bodied cigars with, instead of like over the top spice and pepper, you're getting like more like wood and nuts and, you know, that type of a coffee, you know, cream and that kind of profile, which will probably be more like the second cigar that you're smoking, right?
Yeah. But the first one had a ton of complexity as well. I feel like there was a lot going on in that cigar. It didn't taste...
The first one, exactly. That's a very good, strong cigar. Let me know when you want to know what they are and all that stuff. But that's a cigar that uses very good tobacco, strong, but maintains its complexity. It doesn't like power you out, you know, kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. So for the first one, I would say I'm getting more stuff in the herbs and spices or spices category. Mm-hmm. For the second one, I'm definitely getting more stuff in the sweet category. Yeah. And maybe it's just an association, but I feel like the second one actually, it almost tastes a little sweet compared to the first one. I don't know. Sweet's not the right word.
For sure. It definitely has some, a touch of sweetness, but yeah. And I think it's that cream that you're talking about. I think I'll be interested to hear what you think. I think it's going to be a little bit, like, I think it's going to kind of maintain its flavor, which it's got a great flavor. It tastes great. So it's not a problem, but I think it's going to kind of maintain that throughout, while the other cigar, it's going to maybe go in and out and have a more variety of flavors.
Okay. So now tell me what these cigars are.
Okay, so the first cigar that you lit up is called the Padron Series 1926, and that is an all Nicaraguan cigar. So I guess you could say it's a almost like a single origin, although I'm not sure if all the tobacco came from the same farm or not. I kind of doubt it. But it's considered one of the best, most famous, most prestigious high-end cigars that you can really find. I mean, it's extremely famous. It's known for being kind of like the what all cigars hope to achieve at some point, you know. Mm-hmm. The Padron family has been around for decades. Like many rollers and blenders and farmers, they're from Cuba, and they came over in the revolution. They immigrated to Nicaragua, and now they make cigars there in Esteli, Nicaragua. And they are, I mean, yeah, like I said, they set the standard for really good, strong, quality aged tobacco. The other cigar, I'll actually stay on this for a minute. The Padron, it's been named, we're kind of reading these notes here, it's been named Cigar of the Year, or Padron Cigars. They have multiple lines and different brands, but the Padron has been named Cigar of the Year 3 times. By Cigar Aficionado magazine. This particular cigar has been the number 2 cigar of the year twice. It says Padron cigars have been in the top 10 every year since the magazine has been handing out cigars of the year. So, I mean, it's got probably more accolades than any other cigar there is. The other cigar is, it's cool because it actually was just released this year, so it's a brand new cigar. It's from a company called My Father, also out of Nicaragua. I think Nicaragua is making arguably the best cigars right now. And it uses, so the Padron uses all Nicaraguan tobacco. This cigar uses filler and binder. We can talk about what that means if you want, but filler and binder tobacco from Nicaragua. But the wrapper on the outside is actually from Ecuador.
Okay.
So, like I said, it's a new cigar. It's really, yeah, like it's got a sweet, I think kind of leather kind of flavor in there.
Okay.
I think you nailed it. Cream, sweet, I don't know if you said, did you say there was a nutty flavor?
Yeah.
I think so. In there. I think you said
we're talking about almond Florentines.
Exactly, yep. I think it's My Father company is started by a guy named Pepin Garcia. Like the Padron family, came from Cuba, was kind of a famous cigar roller, and then recently became very well known, probably in the last 10 or 15 years, as a great cigar blender and maker. He also makes, along with his own cigars, which are like the My Father brands, he makes lots of other very well-known cigars, brands called Tatuaje, which is a very famous cigar, Crowned Heads. So these guys are making cigars for their own brands and then also for other brands occasionally. So you have 2 cigars from very, very famous, very respected companies. I mean, 2 of the most well-known. Up there with other brands like Arturo Fuente, makers in that upper echelon of cigar makers.
So they're both Nicaraguan, but they both have very different flavor profiles. Is that typical?
Yeah, well, so Nicaraguan tobacco, especially from, there's three different regions where tobacco is made, and one's in Esteli, one's in Jalapa, and one's in Condega. And depending on where the tobacco is grown, different elevations, different climates. Esteli is known for having like that Padron, very spicy, pretty powerful tobacco. Jalapa would be more like the other one. And I'm not sure if that's exactly where this tobacco is from. But yeah, they would be consistent with those two different regions. And the Ecuador wrapper is probably, I'm guessing, what's giving it that this the My Father, the second cigar, a lot of its sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, the whole blending thing is pretty fascinating with cigars, and very different than coffee. With coffee, you know, single origin, you know, it's got very specific flavors unique to that bean. Blends are, well, you can speak to this more than me, but, you know, blends are kind of, you know, often maybe a way to keep the, correct me if I'm wrong here, keep the price down, have some really quality beans, and some, not all the time, but in cigars, just about every cigar is like, for example, that Padron is all Nicaraguan. That's pretty rare. You're usually going to have blends from several different countries. You could have a Nicaraguan wrapper. You could have a Dominican filler, and then binder, and then like in the filler would be, you know, from all over. You know, even like Mexico or Ecuador or Honduras. And that's kind of the blending process for cigars, which is different than coffee, is cigars are kind of valued for their ability to be blended well.
Interesting. So let's talk about binder and filler. What is that?
Okay, so you've got three different components of the cigar. So you've got the filler, the binder, and the wrapper. So we've talked about the wrapper. That's the single leaf that goes over the final product, right? You've got, so the filler is the leaf that goes in the middle. And it's kind of, it's that, and that's where you can, a lot of times there's a real blend of tobaccos. So say a roller is about to roll this cigar. He's got a bunch of different leaves out before him. So he can, he's rolling the same cigar, so he knows what the blend is. So he's going to take, you know, say a little bit of the Dominican tobacco. He's going to take a few leaves from Ecuador or whatever, and he's going to take the right amount of those, put them together. And then he's going to wrap those in the binder, which is the next aspect of the cigar. So that's going to look like the cigar as you see it, except it's going to be a lot kind of rougher. It's not going to be a wrapper leaf. It's the binder leaf. So it's rougher. You put that in that mold that we were talking about earlier. You put the binder wrapped around the filler, put that in this cigar mold, which essentially just shapes it to how the cigar is going to be shaped in the end. You're going to let that sit in the mold, and then once it's shaped and ready, you're going to take the wrapper and put it around the final product. So you've got, so depending on how the what size you have, and this is kind of like, I don't think talked about enough in the cigar industry, but because a lot of times you'll have, say this My Father La Promesa, you've got maybe six different sizes. You've got like a huge, thick ring gauge cigar. And then you've got now all the way from down to a small like Corona. And it's kind of considered, oh, well, that's just the My Father La Promesa cigar. But in reality, you've got a totally different cigar because the blend has been totally changed, right? Because you've got way more filler and binder tobacco, and you always have the same amount of wrapper because it's just the one leaf going on the outside. So for, say, a Corona cigar that's very thin, you're going to be smoking you're going to be getting a lot more of that wrapper tobacco. Where a thick, you know, ring gauge cigar, you're going to be smoking a lot more of that middle filler and binder, right?
Right.
So it's not talked about, I think, a lot, but really, I mean, if you smoked a La Promesa of a different size, you could be getting a totally different smoke. So that's why I'm with Standard and Twain, I'm very careful to always send out, you know, the same cigar size, because, I mean, maybe down the line, you know, if it's a cigar that's really prominently like different, depending on the size, I'll send out that cigar another time because it'll be totally different. It'll be a totally different experience.
Very interesting. Yeah, I noticed that all four cigars I received from you are about the same thickness. That's by design.
Exactly. And, you know, it's kind of that middle of the road. You're going to get kind of what the average flavor of that cigar would be. Yeah.
And so how does the wrapper taste compared to the filler? Like what would a really thin cigar taste like compared to a really thick one?
It's kind of that's a tough question to answer. Because it's kind of, wrapper leaf or all leaves are very, very different. So it's not really, it wouldn't really fit into one category. But for example, say this Padron, it's got a Nicaraguan, very dark, wrapper around it. So for that cigar, obviously the thinner the cigar is, the more of that dark, spicy Nicaraguan wrapper you're going to get of it. If it's a Ecuadorian, Ecuadorian shade wrapper, which means that the leaf has actually not been grown in the sun, but it's had like a thin blanket over the top of the tobacco, which gives it way less sun, obviously. So it's going to be way lighter. It's going to be a lot more mild and creamy. So if you value that, if the cigar maker and blender values that, then a thinner ring gauge is going to make that cigar a lot more mild and creamy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And, you know, I think there's kind of a lot of guys kind of have a size they prefer. A lot of times it's like a 5 5/8 by 48 size is kind of considered that's the standard for this is the middle ground. We're going a little more or a little less, but that 5 5/8 by 48 size, that's right in the sweet spot there of the balance of filler binder wrapper.
Gotcha. Okay. So now I have a question. So I smoked two halves of two cigars.
Yeah.
If I let these sit and go out and I smoke them again over the weekend.
Oof. No, we don't want to do that. That's bad. No. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if a cigar is out for more than like 10 or 15 minutes, you're probably going to want to let it sit or be done.
Okay.
There are some tricks and stuff that you can do that would help it out. Like you can, if it's been sitting for like 10 or 15 minutes, you can light the ends, kind of like toast it, like we said, light the ends. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of like blow, instead of taking a puff, do it the opposite, blow it out, and you'll be kind of getting some of that harshness. That'll help a little bit, but yeah, it's going to be, that cigar is probably not going to come back to its original form after it's been out for that long.
Okay. Good to know. I'll give those to my friends and I'll smoke the other ones.
what do you think of the two cigars? Which one did you prefer?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I feel like I preferred the first one a little bit more, the 51. It was pretty intense.
Yeah.
But I like that. If I had a guess, I would have said I was more of a mild cigar kind of guy.
That's a very strong cigar. So that's good to hear. I mean, it kind of tells you that, yeah, you can, there are strong cigars out there, but a lot of them will be like too much. I had a cigar the other day. I haven't been like queasy from nicotine in years, but it had just not been aged long enough. And it was just rough. And I got home and I was like, oh man, that is, and like you said, it left that nasty kind of ash taste in your mouth. It was just strong, just for the sake of being strong. And those are definitely out there, but there are also like really good, really high quality tobacco, strong cigars.
Yeah. So I definitely don't feel queasy right now, but I'm pretty hot and sweaty.
Yeah. You just smoked, like you said, two halves of three cigars on an empty stomach, mind you.
And it's a pretty humid day out here.
Right.
It's not raining, but it's pretty humid. I'm pretty hot and sweaty right now.
Hydrate, get some water.
Yeah, I've been drinking all that seltzer. I'm not sure if that made a difference, but I feel like right now my mouth does not really taste like cigars, which is really important because I feel like...
Yeah, absolutely.
If I don't smoke a cigar, it's because I feel like it throws off my taste buds for like up to 5 days.
I wouldn't smoke a cigar if that were the case.
It's pretty good.
Good, man. Well, you have any other questions?
This is the first interview I've done without a list of questions. So I don't think I have any more questions about cigars, but I'd like to learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Let's
start from the beginning.
what's like your day job? Is this a full-time business for you, or is this
good question, man. So yes, it'd be nice if it was a full-time job. No, it's a project. It's definitely a side project. It's kind of like the standard the basic story of starting anything, right? You're like, oh, this will be a fun project, and then you get into the weeds and you're like, oh man, maybe I bit off a little more than I can chew here. You probably know a little bit how that goes. So it started because a bunch of my friends several years ago we'd get together because this was like a little bit after college. We'd kind of gone our own ways. I'm from Nashville. I'm currently in Nashville, Tennessee. But a lot of guys had moved, for relocated for their jobs or for their women or whatever. And around Christmas time, we'd all get back and come together. And what we did, I mean, cigars are just such a cool, it's like coffee. It's such a cool thing, or wine. You get together. And I mean, cigars are so funny because if without a cigar, like for example, I'll smoke a cigar with a friend. We'll be on like the back porch at night, and like the lights will be off and his wife will walk out there. And we'll just be sitting out there in the dark with these cigars, right? And any other scenario, she would be like, what are you guys doing out here? We have a cigar, so it's perfectly normal. So cigars are great like that. So we can all just sit around, we catch up, we talk about life while, with a drink and a cigar. And we want to take it to another, like kind of the next level. So what we decided to do was get everybody come back together and get this, pick out a cigar, go to a cigar store and pick out like a, find the most unique cigar you can find. Maybe, you know, spend a little more than you normally would, and then remove the label. Everybody brings their cigars and we sit them all out. It's like maybe, you know, six or seven of us, and sit them all out on the table. And then we totally geek out. So we do a draft for who goes first and, you know, that whole thing. And then you know, select which cigar you want without the labels are removed. So all you have are the cigars. So you kind of go through each cigar, look at it, you know, and then pick the one that you want, and then you smoke it. And then at the end, you know, whoever bought the cigar tells you, you know, what it was, and you know, learn all about it. And it's just a really cool kind of thing to do together. And that's kind of how Standard and Twain evolved, because we're like, you know, this is such a cool thing. And it's such you know, like, because we would learn more about the cigar or about cigars in general and about this cigar in particular that night more than we would, you know, smoking cigars throughout the year. It's like, why don't we do this, you know, like all the time and make it like a thing that other people could join and make mm-hmm. like a community? And so that's kind of how Standard and Twain started. And Standard and Twain, the name is from a letter that Mark Twain wrote, I think in 1893, called Concerning Tobacco. And it's just this kind of ridiculous, like really funny letter that, you know, only Mark Twain could write, about how we all think we have a standard, but when it comes to life, to tobacco, he thinks he has a standard, but he doesn't. He thinks he can tell what he regards as a good cigar from what he regards as a bad one, but he only goes by the brand, yet he imagines he goes by the flavor. So it's all kind of about smoking without brand bias, right? Experiencing what it is, you know, without any influence. And so that's what Standard and Twain is. So we send that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun. So he tells this story in the letter about how he all his friends gave him a hard time for smoking these cheap, you know, 10-cent cigars. They're all smoking dollar cigars, and they would give him shit for it. And so one night he had them all over for dinner, and then after dinner he removed the labels from the cigars that they brought and put his label on there, and they all smoked his cigars. And by the end, you know, they didn't say a word about the cigars. They loved them just because they assumed that they were the cigars that they had brought.
Right.
So, you know, so he tells that story. So yeah. So it's
have you discovered any cheap cigar brands that you love?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many good cigars out there. I mean, that cigar, the first cigar, the Padron, I mean, that's, depending on where you are, that'll be like $25 to $27. That the La Promesa, probably more like $10. But yeah, you can find really good cigars for, I don't know, maybe $6 or $7. There's a couple cigars out there. One's called the Charter Oak, comes to mind, by a company called Foundation Cigars. There's a cigar called Charter Oak, and it's like, I don't know, it's like $6-$7, depending on where you are. Yeah, there's lots of really good value cigars out there.
Nice.
And this is kind of what this is too, like, for example, like, yeah, that Padron is extremely expensive, but you don't know, right? You don't know until afterwards. So you're smoking these cigars without any idea of price, without any idea of brand recognition. You know, exactly. I'm not explaining it to you. Basically, exactly what Angel's Cup is.
Yeah.
And so I came across Angel's Cup actually along the way while we were getting this thing going, and so it's been very cool to watch you grow and while I, you know, get this going. So
very nice.
Yeah. But no, to answer your original question, it is, it's not my regular job. It is a part-time gig that we're slowly growing. We're still really small. We're still, there's just so many things. I'm sure you know, there's just so many things you can do, with this kind of concept, and you know, you're kind of limited by funds or time or whatever, but like, you know, it's there. You're working towards it. There's so many cool things. There's, you know, creating, you know, community and, just, you know, all this fun stuff. For example, your app is unbelievable.
No, thank you.
Oh man. You know, just stuff like that. And so it's fun to know that you just add a little bit at a time. You get better, you improve the experience as you grow. So that's what we're doing.
Yes. Our motto at Angels Cup is suck less every day.
That's perfect. That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, really nice format. I think I'm not sure how people are going to end up using your cigar club. They'll probably get it and smoke a cigar every once in a while, but I think that having two cigars at the same time is a really good way to learn about them, because mm-hmm. you get to compare. If I smoke these 2 days apart, I think I would have lost out on a lot of the educational value.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little different than coffee, right? It's hard to do a four different cigar equivalent of cupping, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, most people don't smoke. I mean, gosh, I know guys that smoke, you know, guys in the industry smoke 10 cigars a day, which is hard to fathom. But you know, most people smoke one every week or every couple of weeks. So, yeah. You know, we keep it at two. And then you have an option if you want to just double that amount, if you want to get two of each, you can get four. But yeah, I think two is a good amount.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I appreciate all the work that you've done, Lee, paving the way a little bit toward this wine tasting experience. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I'm gonna try and do my best to help promote you guys. I'll probably send an email about it. And hopefully we'll get you some subscribers. Hopefully we can help you grow the business a little bit. I think it's a really cool idea.
Beautiful, man. Well, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of the Angels Cup Coffee Hunters podcast. Again, huge thanks to Kellen for hopping on a call with me and walking me through all this detailed information about cigars. I learned a ton about cigars that I never knew before. And I guess maybe I wasn't surprised, but I was really glad to see that there was such a noticeable difference between these two cigars. It'll help me think more in depth about cigars when I have other cigars in the future. I think I'll have an easier time understanding the differences between different cigars. Again, if you haven't already done so, you should definitely check out Kellen's website, standardandtwain.com, where until August 1st, you can receive a free box of cigars. The coupon code is FIRSTBOXFREE, all caps, no spaces. And as always, if you'd like to try Angel's Cup, we have an ongoing offer. Use coupon code PODCAST25 on checkout to save 25% off your first shipment. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a review and subscribe, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. Alright, so here's some bonus footage for anybody who's made it this far into the show. By the time this interview was over, I was kind of in a little bit of a rush to get off the phone, and I think the interview at the end there was a little bit sloppy. It's because these cigars, I didn't know this at the time, but higher quality cigars can maybe have a little bit more nicotine in them, And these cigars were doing a number on my stomach. I really needed to get off the phone and I needed to use the bathroom. Kellen sort of warned me about this before the show started. He suggested that I should have something to eat, so I'm not doing the tasting on an empty stomach. And I dismissed his concerns because I smoke a hookah sometimes and I thought I would have a strong resistance to the nicotine. And this was a valuable learning experience for me. I did not expect for these cigars to have this effect on me. But here's the footage from before the show started when Kellen fairly warned me about what to expect, and I disregarded his warning.
All right. Hey, real quick, what's your plan with the cigar?
Oh, okay.
But do you know which one you're smoking?
So I want to smoke at least two. I want to try at least two.
All right. Yeah. I wasn't sure about that. Which ones do you have?
51, 52, 53, and 54.
You've got all of them. All
right. You just want me to advise you which ones to pick, or you just want to randomly grab one, or what?
I want your advice. I want two that are going to be significantly different.
All right. Have you eaten lately this evening?
I can't remember the last thing I ate. But I don't have a strong flavor in my mouth.
but your stomach's not too full, huh?
My stomach is definitely not too full. Should I have eaten?
Well, there's a couple cigars that are very nice that I'd like to suggest, but they might not be a good idea on an empty stomach.
Why not?
Because they're a little strong. They've got they're a little high on the nicotine, and with an empty stomach, you might get a little queasy.
You know what? I smoke a hookah on a fairly regular basis.
Okay.
So I think my tolerance for nicotine and nicotine withdrawal is probably pretty decent.
Right.
So.
All right, great. Then I think I would go with 51.
Okay.
Lead off with that one. And then probably number 54.
And with that, my fate was sealed. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.